All right. So thanks, everyone. I'm Stefano Maffulli, and I'm just going to give you a very quick rundown of the work that we've done at the Open Source Initiative for the past couple of years that allowed us to reach to the conclusion, one conclusion of what the open source means in the AI space. And we started when we noticed that we were having issues with automatic decision-making systems that were making decisions and they were wrong. Like, this is, was one of the cases a couple of years ago of a father snapping a picture of his naked child to send it to his doctor to say, hey, what's going on with my kid? And the system caught that image and recognized it and flagged it correctly to some extent as a child nudity, but also immediately triggered the child abuse process. And that was it was the case of one automatic tool making the wrong decision. Frankly, very visible for us in the technology space.
Stefano, sorry to interrupt you. Would you stand in that corner, because then
sure.
You're on camera.
Yes. Let me move the laptop here. Okay, so I can see the slides actually. And so this is clearly a bug, right? It's we recognize it's a bug, but the next question immediately was, how do you fix a bug in a system like this one? See, the machine learning systems that we were talking about, that we are talking about, that are so popular in the past few years, they're not programmed. They're not written by humans, they're not deterministic, they don't have source code in the same sense that we are used to. And in fact, they learn automatically. They look like black boxes to some extent. So we didn't have an answer to the questions like, how do you fix a buggy one? Like, how do you go back? And what do you ask for? Like, because in the software space, especially in the early years of advocacy of free software inside the European Union, when we talk to public administrators, we were always saying, give us a source code, we'll fix it. Give us a source code, ask for the source code. What is it that we needed to do? We needed to take a step back, and we needed to act very quickly, because there were three major forces pushing for a sense of urgency on us to coordinate actions to come up with a definition of how to fix this issue. First, the technology is different from what we are used to. Then there is a lot of pressure from market actors that are trying to use the term open source because we have been so good at make it successful and valuable, so that everyone wants to use it, even if it's applied to a new domain and there is it's violating some of the fundamental principles, at least from the face value that we recognized a few years ago. And then regulators were coming very quickly asking for clarifications and writing laws without having the answers, or at least authoritative answers. So a year ago, we had a very clear idea of what an open source AI looks like. It's not really that difficult to expect that one needs to be able to use, study, modify, and share whatever they have received, whatever system that they have in their hands. But there is a piece missing. Like those of you familiar with the concept of the free software definition, they will have recognized that next to the freedoms to use and to study and modify, there is a short sentence saying you need to have access to source code is a precondition for that. And remember, we don't know what source code really means in the context of machine learning. The open source definition point number two also has a reference to source code as a mandatory component of a program. And source code in point number two of the OSD says you must be the preferred form used by a programmer to modify the program. Cannot be obfuscated. So we needed to understand what is the preferred form used by builders of AI to modify the program. So with the system, the AI. So we put together a large collaboration. Over 100 people have collaborated from 27 nations, 33% from the global south. Over 50 volunteers have followed the co-design process that started by defining what is that we were talking about, which is an AI system, using the OECD definition. The AI system is something, to make it short, it's anything that gives, infers an output based on an input in a various degrees of independence. So we analyzed systems. We started with five. We asked these volunteers, all experts, builders of AI, ethicists, philosophers, and data scientists, etc., to answer the question, what are the components of these systems that you need in order to use, study, modify, and share? They evaluated, they gave us an answer. We drafted a longer, complete definition of what that preferred form of making modification is. We expanded in a validation phase. We analyzed 13 systems at this point and tried to see which ones were matching the definition, which ones were not. So we were trying to find whether we would catch some irregularities. Clearly, something like Llama that is not respecting freedoms, that is not releasing information about the training, etc., what was going on. And in fact, that did not pass the validation phase. And then we released, fine-tuned the text, and finally, at the end of October last year, we released version one. And the version one of the definition is not surprising, should not be surprising any of you. The four freedoms have to be conveyed, and that means that you must require access to the weights parameters, so the results of the training, everything that went into that training, so the code that used for the training algorithms, etc., the machines, and all the code used to build the training data set complete so that you can rebuild the data set. And frankly, and finally, all the data used to train the system, unless there is a footnote, when legally impossible. Okay? So I want you to focus on this. It's requiring the model weights, the code complete that built the machine, and the data unless legally impossible. This is what's written in the definition. Do you have everything that you require to rebuild something that works that way without any restrictions? Now, there are some actors in the market that are really pushing for saying, well, yeah, AI is different, so we need to accept the fact that you will have to live with conditions every time. These machines are so powerful, they're dangerous, they can kill us all, and there is this rhetoric going around. They want us to accept that there are restrictions. Some restrictions are even inevitable. And that's, frankly, that's a trap. This is not something we want to think about. And we're not against the fact that once a system that is powerful and capable of breaking things, that should be regulated on the deployment. But we cannot really expect that we turn developers into police or other actors going around and checking, are you violating a law? Where? And the deployment is what needs to be regulated, not the development. And they're also insisting on this idea that there are degrees of freedom. And that's like telling someone who's in prison that they have freedom because they're not shackled to a wall or they can take an hour playing in the yard. Like that's, there is no freedom until you're out of the gate. And so there are degrees of restrictions, for sure. There is an open source gate. Once you pass that gate, you have an explosion of freedom. None, not before that. So we have validated. That's another thing that we have done that I want you to focus on. The open source definition of AI version one that we have released comes with a list of systems that have been evaluated during the process by the volunteers in the 100 plus co-designers. And the ones that pass are only the ones that are developed by research institutions, nonprofit groups, and organizations. And the ones that don't usually are developed by corporations with commercial interests. And they sometimes release some pieces, some they disclose some of the materials, but not all of that's required. Now, you may have heard some of the criticisms, like since there is no source, why are you calling it open source? Why is the open source initiative stretching into machine learning, since clearly it's not software, so why are you even going there? Why did you do this process this way? I couldn't speak, or I didn't know about it. Like, these are all fair criticisms. I have addressed some of them at the very beginning, but the main thing here is, if not us, if not now, if not in this process, like who, how, when should have that happened? The other comment that you may have read is, why is that footnote? And I get it. Why is there a footnote that says, unless it's legally impossible? It's because why would we want to force something that is not legal, or put ourselves into a corner where only open data, like open data is really a smaller, open data, the way we think about it, is only a smaller fraction of the possible available data. And other organizations like Free Software Foundation, Software Freedom Conservancy, that have been criticizing us and commenting on this, they haven't come up with a solution either. So we have noticed that the possibilities here are either going with a Meta that is running TV ads, telling us that Llama is open source and open source AI, or we want to go with a definition that has had support, a wide collaboration happening over a longer period of time, and that is open also for evolution as the technology and the legislation go. Now, there is another criticism that we have received, and that is too restrictive. Like you may have noticed, it puts a very high bar into the requirements. And some of the corporations have been arguing that it's not really clear whether it's not really clear, or they argue against the fact that during the evaluation process and the validation process, we have engaged mostly with academics, and the corporations did not have, although they were following the process, they did not feel like they had the time to intervene without and giving authoritative comments from the corporation's perspective. So this is another area where we want to think about, collect the feedback, and think about the evolution of the definition towards version 2 in the future. So today, what you can do is to go on opensource.org/AI. We have published everything that is related to the process, how we got to the conclusion. There is a very detailed report that was sent to the board about who contributed, how. It's a very long document. There is a very long paper, research paper on data, specifically it's over 30 pages of research material that you can refer to understand what the issues are when we talk about petabytes of data content that goes into training. And the other thing that we ask you to do today is to help us correct Llama or Meta's authorities, like Mark Zuckerberg, Jan LeCun, to correct them when they say that Llama is open source, because clearly it's not. It doesn't even go into the debate whether it's an open source AI. It's just not an open source anything that they give us. And that's creating really problems for the whole ecosystem. And that's it. Do we have questions or?
We're a bit behind schedule, but.
Oh, sorry. Sure.
To that. So then
okay. Check the rest of it and check the code requirements. The whole thing. Right, and you need to read the whole thing in one go and internalize the fact that that's what is requiring. In practice, once you go and you get into the code requirement, it says you need to be able, first of all, it needs to be able to rebuild the data set. It says that data information. And the code says it needs to be complete so that you can rebuild the data set.
Why not explicitly say
yes.
The data and everything else?
Yes. We ran out of time. In October, we needed to release version 1.
That's literally the next.